The family really didn't have any say in any of that, said her niece Darlene. We were pretty much shut out. It was always odd to me. What kind of factory has its own doctor? It did not make sense at all. Radium Dial probably paid the bills, she added. We didn't have money for big medical bills, that was for sure. It was so lonely for Peg in that distant hospital, far from her home by the railroad tracks. The girl who had 9 brothers and sisters and slept with them all in the one tiny room, 3 to a bed, was completely on her own. Her siblings weren't permitted to visit. Her sister Jane went one time, but the doctors wouldn't let her into Peg's room. Peg had displayed symptoms of diphtheria and was promptly quarantined. In her weakened condition, she also soon contracted pneumonia. Radium Dial, in a show of concern, paid close attention to her progress, to her decline. At 2:10 a.m. on 14th of August 1929, Margaret Looney died. This girl, who was to marry Chuck next year, who loved to read the dictionary, who had once had dreams to be a teacher and was well known for her giggling fits, was no more. Her family, though isolated from her, was still in the hospital when she died. Peg's brother-in-law, Jack White, who was married to her sister Catherine, an imposing man who worked as a car oiler for the railroad, was one of the relatives present. He was the type of man who stood up for the right thing to be done. Which was why, when the company men came in the middle of the night and tried to take her body to bury it, Jack protested vehemently. No, he said firmly to them, you will not take her body. She's a good Catholic girl, and she'll have the whole Catholic funeral and have a mass. I think it was probably a good thing he was there, commented Darlene shrewdly, because I do not know that the rest of the family, with everything that was going on, I don't know if they'd have been able to stand up to the company and the doctor. But Jack was more forceful. He told them, that's not going to happen. The company men tried to argue with him. They wanted the whole thing done with, just gone, Darlene went on. It was like a big cover-up. But Jack stood his ground and would not allow them to take Peg's body. Radium Dial lost that particular battle, but did not give up. It seems the firm was concerned that Peg's death would be attributed to radium poisoning, which would scare all the girls at the studio and possibly lead to innumerable lawsuits. The executives needed to take control of the situation. What did the family think, they asked, of having Peg autopsied? The Looney family were already suspicious, given the Chicago doctor's comments, that it was her work that had killed Peg. They readily agreed, on condition that their own family doctor could be present, because they wanted to find out the truth. Their proviso was all important. After the firm's midnight machinations, they did not trust them. The company agreed easily. Yes, yes, they said. No problem. What time? When the family doctor arrived, at the appointed hour, bag in hand, he found the autopsy had been performed an hour before he got there. He wasn't there to see the multiple fracture lines on Peg's ribs, nor the way the flat bones of her skull showed numerous thin areas and holes. He didn't examine the radium necrosis that was found very strongly in the skull vault, pelvis, and at least 16 other bones. He did not witness the widespread skeletal changes that were evident throughout Peg's battered body. He was not there to see as the company doctor removed by post-mortem resection the remains of Peg Looney's jaw. He took her bones. He took the most compelling evidence.